Make just one change. Teach students to ask their own questions. Authors, Dan Rothstein and Luz Santana. Name the problem. Parents in the low-income community with whom we were working 20 years ago told us that they did not participate in their children's education nor go to their children's schools because they didn't even know what to ask. It turns out they were actually pointing to a glaring omission in most formal and informal educational expertise. The skill of being able to generate a wide range of questions and strategize about how to use them effectively is rarely, if ever, deliberately taught. In fact, it has too often been limited to students who have access to an elite education. Teaching the skill of question formulating can be part of ordinary classroom practice. It becomes a familiar way of thinking and learning that produces transformational moments of new discovery and greater ownership by students of their own learning. Teaching multiple thinking abilities in one process. The question formulation technique has been painstakingly developed, tested, simplified, and improved over the past two decades. The protocol has six core components. 1. A question focus, usually developed by the teacher that serves as a jumping-off point for student questions. 2. A process for students to produce questions using a set of four simple rules. 3. An exercise for students to work on closed and open-ended questions. 4. Student selection of priority questions. 5. A teacher and student plan for next steps, how they will use the priority questions. 6. A reflection activity for students to name what they have learned, how they learned it, and how they will use what they have learned. 1. Choose the question focus, the starting point for student questions. When you use the question formation technique, you are making one significant change in the traditional dynamic in the classroom, from using your question to prompt student thinking and work to challenging students to come up with their own questions. The key change in practice starts with a change in name. Out goes the term prompt. And in its place, we use question focus, or cue focus. Question focus. It's a stimulus for jump-starting student questions. It can be short statement, or a visual or oral aid, in any medium or format that can stimulate student thinking, and that will be expressed through their questions. It is the opposite of using a teacher's questions to prompt student thinking. 2. Rules for producing questions. Once the cue focus is ready, your next step is to introduce your students to what we call the rules for producing questions, which are 1. Ask as many questions as you can. This rule gives students license to ask. 2. Do not stop to discuss, judge, or answer any question. This rule creates safe space and protection. 3. Write down every question exactly as it's stated. This rule levels all playing fields, so all questions and voices are respected. 4. Change any statement into a question. This rule insists on the discipline of phrasing, asking, and thinking in questions, not statements. 3. Students improve the questions. Your role in this part is to introduce the definition of closed-ended and open-ended questions, facilitate the discussion about the questions, and support students as they work on changing their questions from one kind to another. This part of the process offers flexibility on which parts of the exercise to use once students have been introduced to all the steps. The process can develop as follows. 1. Provide a definition for closed and open-ended questions. A closed-ended question is answered with a one-word response, such as a yes or no, or another single word. For example, is this going to be on the test? An open-ended question requires more explanation. For example, what will be on the test? 2. Instruct students to review the list of questions they produced and mark closed-ended questions with a C and open-ended questions with an O. 2 to 3 minutes will be enough time to complete this task. 3. Facilitate a discussion on the advantages and disadvantages of closed and open-ended questions. You'll need about 4 minutes for this discussion. 4. Instruct students to change questions from one type to another. Changing one or two questions is enough for practice. It will take about 3 minutes to complete this task. 4. Selecting the priority questions. Students continue working in the same groups in which they categorize the questions. They will need about 5 minutes to prioritize. The process can develop as follows. 1. Students prioritize by choosing 3 questions from their list. Choices are based on criteria you have established. For example, choose the 3 most important questions. Choose the 3 questions that most interest you. Choose the 3 questions that will best help you design your research project. Choose the 3 questions that will move students toward the purpose of using the QFT. 2. Students choose 3 priority questions as follows. First, review the list of questions and quickly discuss which ones to choose. Second, get to an agreement. Choose by consensus, voting, or any other strategy. 3. Students explain their reasons for choosing the three priority questions. 4. Students discuss the reasons among themselves and prepare to explain them to a large group. 5. Small groups report their priority questions and rationale for using them to a large group. 5. What do we do with all these questions? The question formulation technique offers a teacher an unfiltered opportunity to see, hear, and think about the questions on a student's mind. And it offers students a chance to hear the questions that fellow students have on their minds. Once aired and written down, the questions can be productively used in many different classroom and school situations. Some teachers and students get so comfortable using the QFT that it just becomes part of their regular classroom practice. Because students learn more effectively and learn to retain information more efficiently, if they have already asked their own questions, the QFT is a relevant tool that can be used for many purposes. A school might also use the QFT as part of the orientation process for entering students, or as part of an exercise to help transfer students understand the rules, expectations, and benchmarks that might be different from what they have experienced in other schools. 6. Students reflect on their learning. When students are asked to reflect on the process they just experienced, they are looking back at what has come before and thinking about it from their current perspective. They are naming what has and what has not been understood, and they get the chance to name what it felt like going through the experience and what they can do in the future with what they just learned. That's a lot more thinking. The goal of this step is for students to think about the work they've done in the QFT process. You will need to decide what you want to learn from students and how to organize the reflection activity. A minimum of 5 minutes will be needed. The absence of a miracle cure leads to endless discussions of how to solve problems in our schools and frequent debates about the importance of management structures, decision-making authority, teacher preparation, teacher assessments, student achievement, testing practices, and test scores. In the midst of these often contentious exchanges, we should not lose sight of the fact that no matter where we stand on the ideological spectrum, we all want to see this outcome. Students who learn more, take ownership of their learning, and demonstrate that they know more than they did before entering our classrooms.